Let's go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 18. Book of Proverbs chapter 18. I had a, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I'm sharing something with you that God has taught me a lesson. And it took me literally 5 years to figure this out. So I don't have any notes to go off of. I'm just sharing my heart with you tonight, and I believe that's important to do on occasions, just to share your heart and how God has ministered to you, to me personally. A pastor does it quite a bit, and it's good for the soul. That way you can kind of, you know, understand what preachers go through and what they struggle with as well, and hopefully you'll be able to understand those things tonight. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18, and verse number 24, it's a very familiar verse to every single one of us. If you want to go ahead and put into your next place of location, it'll be John chapter 15, verse number 13. I'm going to try to bring these two verses together this evening, if I can. Again, God really spoke to me, and if I get emotional tonight, you'll understand. And I'm not trying to tug on anybody's emotions. I'm not trying to have a Barbara Walters moment by any way, shape, or form. I'm just trying to be real with you and how God has worked in my life. Let's read this verse here, and as soon as I'm done reading, let's have a word of prayer. It says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Heavenly Father, again, as we gather around your word, Lord, I pray that our thoughts, first of all, would be upon you. It wouldn't be upon anything else at this point in time in our lives. God, I pray that you would begin to speak to us. Lord, again, it's a great privilege to be able to give your message out tonight and what you have taught me personally. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I pray, Lord, that you be glorified through it. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Before I go on any further, because as further along that I go, you'll begin to understand where I'm kind of coming from. But as we go on further, please understand this is what God revealed to me. It's not necessarily for you in your circumstance, but it's what God revealed to me in my life and what I have been going through personally. And you'll begin to understand those things. But the first part of this verse is said, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." I'm thankful today that God has placed many people in my lives where I can count on as friends. I heard something the other day, and I never really thought about it. I was talking to an individual, and I never really thought about this in a sense. And what came out of the mouth was, a person should not allow, and this is just a number, a person cannot have 17 best friends. That's just impossible. Because friendship, first of all, takes a lot of time. There's a lot of sacrifice on the individuals that you're friends with. Last few months, I've been able to talk to Jalen. She's getting to the age where I get kind of emotional, begin to think about the future. And the more I think about the future, I say, God, please come. And so, and you'll understand what I'm saying. Jalen's to the age now, she's a senior in high school, and she's going to be going off to college. And as soon as she's off to college, she's probably, I don't know what's going to take place after that. I've had her made a vow to me that marriage wouldn't take place until she's 40, but she'll probably break that. But I begin to think about those things, and those things become emotional to me. But as I begin to talk with her, I said, "Jalen, I want you to understand something about friendship. Circumstances changes people. The people that you think that you're friends with now that you're going to be friends with later on in life is a rare occasion. It truly is. And I say this from experience. Growing up in this church, going to school here, I had friends, believe it or not. I say that for a reason. I'm not the friendliest person on this world. I don't have that natural ability to go up and to be able to talk to somebody and to have that connection right away. That's just not me. You put me in a room with another introvert like me, I'll probably be their best friend all day long. But that's just not who I am. So I began to tell her, I had a great friend when I was growing up. I had several of them, But most of those people that I grew up with, probably all of them, I am no longer in contact with. A lot of us that are in here tonight can testify to those things. The guy that I thought would be a friend that I would always stay in touch with on a daily basis, I talk to him twice a year. He calls me on my birthday, and I call him on his birthday, and that's it. That's just how it is. And so I've tried to prepare her for this in the future, because I think this is important to do. Friends come and go. That's just what happens. Friends will come and go in your life because you might have a disagreement. You might have a falling out. Or you might take more of a stand in your walk with God, and they're not walking with God, and so they're going to back off from you, and you're going to, in a sense, back off from them, and then you're going to go your separate ways. That's just what happens. But friends come and go in our lives. One of the greatest friendships that I have to this day, and I thank God for this, is my wife. She is truly a godsend to me. Honestly, I don't deserve her. I really don't. I'm thankful that she said yes so many years ago. There have been no regrets. Amen, Chris? There's been no regrets. Just making sure that she's listening over there. But the thing that I appreciated with her is the friendship that we were able to develop. I believe it's important. I say this for a reason, because there's a lot of husbands and wives that don't have a friendship. They don't have a connection. And some just get married because it's convenient for them to get married, and that's not the right reasons to get married. I have a great connection with my wife. A lot of you folks, you kind of laugh at me when I say this, but I still have that pitter-patter in my heart when I see her every time. And last year, it went really crazy. But the doctor fixed that. Anyway, I have a great connection with her, and I thank God for her, because she is one who is going to tell me the things that I need to hear. And she's going to do it in a loving way. And she doesn't do it to condemn me. She doesn't do it to be mean to me. She does it to be a help to me. Why? Because she's my helpmeet. And I appreciate that about her. And I wish that I can do exactly to her what she does to me. I'm not good in that area. As my friend, she is a great educator. She teaches me so much, and I'm thankful for those things. And so we have had a wonderful ride that just keeps on going, and looking forward to whatever God has in store for us down the road. And I'm thankful for that. Not only am I thankful for my friendship with my wife, but I'm thankful for my friendship that I have with my family. When you grow up in a big family, there's a lot of contentions that take place. Can I get an amen for my siblings? There's a lot of contention that takes place. I believe a lot of that takes place is because in a bigger family, and the Maze, you might understand this a little bit. There's a lot of competition that takes place. And so somebody's always trying to outdo somebody else. And sometimes because of that, I want to do better than my older sister or my younger brother, things of that nature. And when those things happen, jealousy kind of kicks in, and you kind of butt heads a little bit. But it doesn't matter how many times you butt heads, you realize how important they are in your life. And you begin to develop a great friendship with them. A friendship that no matter what happens, they have your back. Now, I can sit there and talk bad about Jeff all day long. I can sit there and say he's too tall, or his legs are too long, he sings too loud. Don't stop. I'm just using this as illustration. And I can say those things, but as soon as somebody else says those things, guess what's going to happen? Don't you talk bad about my brother. I got his back. So there is a deep bond there. It takes time to develop that bond. It takes time to figure those things out. it wasn't probably until our later 20s where us as siblings begin to realize, hey, not only are we siblings, but we have to realize we need to be friends with one another. Forget about all the things that are in the past. Forget about those things. And we love each other because, first of all, we have no choice. Mom and dad, so we have no choice. But we need to work on our friendships. And it takes a lot of work, and there's a lot of ups and downs, and I appreciate those things. Even though we've had our disagreements, I love my siblings. I love to call them my friends. It's important to me. Not everybody can say that. Not everybody understands those things. I've had a great privilege later on in life. So often in our world today, moms and dads, they have it mixed up. They want to be their friends first. And that just doesn't take place. First of all, when a child is born, you're not their friend, you're their parent. It is your job to raise them. It's not your job to be all buddy-buddy with them. It is your job to raise them. And as you begin to raise them, they get older, obviously. And it wasn't until our later years in life where we are able to develop a friendship with our parents. We go from being their children, and we're still their children, but now the relationship is deeper because now we can call each other friend. Hey, my dad's my friend. I've heard people say when their dad is gone or when their mom is gone, whether it be the daughter or the son, will say this, oh, they're my best friend. And I understand that now because of the relationship that you're allowed to allow grow in your life. Just a few weeks ago, being able to sit on the back deck with my mom and dad when they're in quarantine. And as soon as I heard that they're in quarantine, I got out of my house and came down here because I can see people with the plague. And I was like, all right, somebody like me. So I was able to come down here every night and just to be able to chat with them. I was down here quite a bit throughout the day as well. Why was that? Because not only is it a son, mother, and father relationship, but there's a friendship there as well now. And again, that takes a lot of years to develop. And now as I got into my later years in life, God has given me good friends. He surrounded me in my life, and I'm thankful for those. And I appreciate those friendships that God has allowed me to have. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So in other words, in order for you to have friends, it's obvious you got to be friendly. Somebody comes up and says hi to you. What should your response be back? Well, hello. But here's the problem. Sometimes we're waiting for individuals to come to us. And this is where I struggle. I should be the one to pursue them. Make them feel welcome. Make them feel accepted. And make them feel loved at that point in time. I'm good at giving direction out because I do that with my daughter. As soon as I see a new teenager walk to the church, I immediately grab my daughter and say, hey, you need to go up to them, make them feel welcome. But it's harder for me to do those things. And that's a work in progress. And I ask that you would pray for me, that God would make me, I know this is going to come to bite me in the face here real quick, but pray that God make me more friendlier. I thought I would have had a lot of amens on that one, but that's good. So show yourself friendly. And then it says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know that I have found out in my life what type of a friend that sticks closer to me than a brother? Here, first of all, on earth, it's been my siblings. It's been my siblings, and I appreciate that so much. Unfortunately, today, I'm not able to continue a friendship with one of my brothers. That's just a fact of life that we've had to deal with. Matter of fact, it's been 5 years this evening that we lost my brother. And he's much happier than we are, and I'm thankful for that. He's having a good time up in heaven. He's rejoicing. He's looking at us, and he's like, man, it's not hot up here. You know, things are probably going through his mind there that we can't think of. But that's a friendship that I've really treasured in my life. Wayne and I were really close growing up. Jeff and I's closeness didn't happen until later on in life. Matt and I's closeness didn't happen till later on in my life as well, but Wayne and I were very close when we grew up. We're 2 years and a couple months apart from each other in age. We shared the same bedroom, and at times we shared the same bed. I used to share the bed with Jeff later on as we were growing up, but I had a hard time standing there because he didn't like it when I came to bed because I was younger. He always called it, "I don't like you sleeping here because you bring all your crummies into this bed." That's what he called my dirt balls, apparently. But anyway, we had a great time. Wayne and I were able to share a lot of things growing up. I have a lot of memories that I'm fond of with him. All those late night talks, and I remember one occasion where he was taking driver's ed, and it was the year Ashley came into this world, and it happened to be that week. Dave and I, Dave was a friend of mine, still is, and we were supposed to pick Wayne up from AL from driver's ed. Well, we happened to oversleep that particular morning, and I say morning, it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we got dressed real quick and grabbed the van and went out to pick up Wayne. And I seen Wayne just walking down right in front of Mercy Hospital. I'll never forget that look. And he just waves at us with the most disgusted look on his face. But I remember those things. Those things were great to go through and to develop those friendships, that relationship to allow to grow. In the book of John, chapter 15. You're going to understand where I'm coming from with this. Because this is where it's going to be a little bit more difficult for me to even gather the words and to be able to not break down. Because God gave me something this week. Again, this is for me. This is what you've experienced is totally different from what I'm experiencing and what I've gone through. Verse number 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." First of all, we understand that Jesus had such great love for us that he did what? He laid down his life for us. And it wasn't just for us to do with it what we want. It was for us to accept him as our friend, to accept him as our Lord and Savior, and then to pursue a relationship with him. There's not too many people that you can say that are the friends of Jesus. Why do I say that? Because there's a world that's rejected him. If you're a person that has rejected Jesus, you're not his friend. Plain and simple. And I'm not saying that to be rude, but that's just the fact of the matter. Well, we know that Jesus laid down his life for his friends. Last year, this time last year, Jeff and I were out, and it was July 4th. We had the day off from work, and it was a Thursday morning, and we decided to continue to get our work done that day. And so we got up, and we went and did some yards. And it was probably about the third or fourth yard to where I began to experience something in my life that I didn't know was taking place. I got real dizzy working, and normally when I get dizzy, I'm able to snap out of it just like that. Usually it's because I've dehydrated myself and thinking that I'm okay, and I'll just take a drink of water, some Gatorade, and be good with it. But it took me a good 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes, to really snap out what was taking place. And that raised a lot of concern for Jeff, obviously, because we've already seen with what Wayne went through. We've seen with what our pastor has gone through. And I shook it off. I shrugged it off as if it was no big deal. Again, I didn't know what was going on inside my body at that point in time. I came through. We went on, finished the day. Well, it was a couple weeks later. In the meantime, I didn't realize that I was having some dizzy spells. I mean, I realized it, but I didn't realize why I was having this dizziness. I thought it was just my sinuses. Because during this time of the year, my sinuses get bad just like anybody else. And you get stuffed up and you become dizzy. But this dizziness was more than something that I can ever remember in my life, but I just shrugged it off. So a couple weeks later, I go on vacation. I'm with my brother Matt playing some golf. We had some good times out there. It's probably our third or fourth day on the golf course. It was about 100 degrees that afternoon, and we're out there playing. We're having a good time. And even though I was stinking it up on the golf course, we're having a good time. And I hit one of the better shots that just right then and there, and all of a sudden I felt something just kind of not feel right about me. I noticed something just kind of just zapped for me, but I just kind of went on, not knowing what was taking place. And so we got done, and I didn't want to bother Matt because I really began to go downhill very quickly. And Matt went and got the car, and he didn't know what I was doing, but I went to the restroom to dunk myself into some water. I didn't know what was taking place, but at that point in time, I believe, according to my symptoms, I'm not a ghoul doctor, but just according to my symptoms that I was experiencing, I was having a heat stroke. My vision just, I lost my vision. It was just weird. I bounced back. It took me almost a day to really bounce back. And not knowing what was going on, I continued to go about my business. Matt told me something, and it kind of rung in my ear. He says, "Chad, you already had a strike with Jeff." He goes, "This is strike two. Don't make it strike three." And when somebody says something like that, it's just kind of like, wow, maybe I better do something. And so I got back home, and I made an appointment. It took a couple weeks to get in. And Jeff and I, we were out mowing that evening, had to get some yards done, and had an appointment afterwards. I remember rushing home and taking a shower, about falling over three or four times just in the shower. Again, I thought it was just my sinuses. So I go to the doctor, and of course they check me over, and he says, "Chad, do you know you're in AFib?" And I said, "No, I don't know I'm in AFib." He goes, your heart beats 162 beats per minute. You don't feel that. And my blood pressure is 200 something over 195, something like that. It was sky high. And he was real concerned about me. I knew right then and there how he was looking at me. He wanted to admit me to the hospital right then and there. But I kept telling him, "No, I'm okay. I'm not dizzy. I'm not none of this. I have a sinus infection. No big deal." But anyway, he says, "Because you're an AFib," he goes, "I got to contact a doctor for you. You have to go in there and see him." So you guys know the story. I'm kind of trying to speed this up. I was shocked twice. And those didn't work, but for maybe a week to 2 weeks at a time. And then they did a surgery back in December where they went up into my heart and froze four parts of my heart off to where it took me out of AFib. All my wiring was all jacked up, and so they went in there and fixed that. And God has taken care of me. As I was sitting down with my mom, I think it was Monday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon of last week, we're just sitting there chatting, and I can't remember how this conversation came up. I don't know how it came up. I don't know why it came up. And I just remember my mom saying, "I wish Wayne would have done something about his headaches." And as a mother, her emotions with this, there's days that it just hits her to like no other, and then there's days it's a little mild. And today, that day, it just happened to hit her, and she happened to be talking about it. And I was talking to her. I said, "Mom," I go, "understand something. Wayne was young. When you have a headache, you don't think about those things. You think you're going to bounce back right away." I said, "Mom, when I was going through what I went through last year," I go, "honestly, if it wasn't for what happened to my brother, I would have not been checked out. I go, I probably would have had a massive stroke, because as you're in AFib, the longer you go, the more stress it's on your heart, because your lower chamber is beating fast enough to keep up with the upper chamber. If your blood's too thick, you're going to have a stroke and have a massive heart attack, and you don't know what's going to happen after that." I said, "Mom, if it wasn't for that," I go, "I wouldn't have been doing what I was doing." And that's just who we think we are. We think we're invincible, we think we're young, and we think that we have a lifetime to get things straightened out. And that was pretty much the end of the conversation. Here comes Monday morning. I begin to pray about this message tonight, what God wanted me to speak on. I wasn't even thinking about going in this direction. And I begin to think about that verse, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And I begin to reminisce about my brother and the friendship that we had. And not just him, but the rest of my siblings, the friendships that we have. And my friends that God has surrounded me with now. I begin to think about those things. And it began to resonate in my heart. And I begin to have a great appreciation for every single one of them. But then this verse in John chapter 15 just came into my mind. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God gave me such peace that day. Because I began to understand something that took me 5 years. I've questioned, God, why did you take my brother? Why did you take him from us? You didn't have to do this. So years have gone on, days have gone on, where I've questioned this. Again, this is for me. This is what God is using this for. And I saw this verse clear as day in my mind, just as I see it right here, right now. And what I got from that, God showing me, is saying, Chad, your brother laid his life down for you so that you can still live. I said this a few minutes ago, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have been checked out. And I possibly wouldn't be here today. And I looked up into the heavens and I said, thank you, Lord, for giving me such a great brother so that I can live. Without a doubt, God gave me the most amazing peace and the most amazing comfort that I've ever, ever felt in my life. And I thank God that I was finally able to get an answer. I've heard people say, Chad, it might take years. It could take weeks, it could take months for God to answer you. But this is how God answered me. And this is what God spoke to me about. Again, they can be totally different for his kids. They can be totally different for my mom and dad and my siblings. But for this, this is for me. My brother's life was able to give me an extension on mine. What a great friend. What a great friend. That's what God shared with me this week. That's why I put it out there on Facebook to, I don't know, not try to get you excited, but looking forward to this evening. And it began to really hit me, and it began to be more grateful to my God for sending his son, that he gave up his life for us, so that we can have eternity with him. My time is still going here on earth. I thank God for that. But I'm looking for the day that I get to reunite, not only with my Heavenly Father, but I'll be able to see my brother once again. And I know exactly what he's going to say to me when I get there. He's going to hit me on the back of the head like he used to. And he's going to say, you idiot, what took you so long? That's what he's going to say. Those are words of endearment when it comes to a brother, when they call you idiots and morons and some other names that I'm not going to mention. But I thank God for the love that I was able to share with a brother who was so dear and near to me. That doesn't take away from the rest of my siblings because I love and appreciate them like no other. And it's because of him that I'm able to appreciate them even more. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Not too many people will give up their life for their friends, but there are a few. And I thank God for those souls. What great love, what great compassion, and what great care that they have for the ones that they do that for. So that's what God has spoken to me about. That's what I've learned this week. That's what he's taught me. And I can't thank him enough. And what joy that I've had in my life. And how fitting that it took 5 years, almost to the day. God knows what he's doing. God's in control. And I thank God for that. Yes, our hearts hurt. Yes, we still mourn from time to time. There's nothing like the great comfort that God can give you along the way. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've allowed us to have. Lord, I thank you again for my brother, what he's not only meant to me, but what he means to his kids, his other brothers and sisters, his mom and dad, and his church family. God, I pray tonight. I know he's in your presence. I know you don't speak to the dead, you speak to the living. So God, I pray, my prayer is that you tell my brother I love him and I miss him. And would you give him a hug for me and tell him thank you? We love you this evening, Lord, because you first loved us. And we ask it in your name. Amen.